12th chapter, book of Luke. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. And Aaron, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here, glad you felt like being here tonight, and it's good. We're thankful that God took care of you. Amen. All right, 12th chapter of the book of Luke, starting at verse number 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat and drink and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege of reading it here tonight. And once again, Lord, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom, needs your help tonight as we preach this message that you have given us. And so, Father, once again, let our hearts be open, Lord, to that which you want to speak to us about. And Father, do that which is needful in each and every heart tonight. And we'll remember to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it. For we pray this in the lovely, most precious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We have been doing a little series on treasure. We've talked about treasures, where to put them. We preached a message on treasures. Whose are they? The last time we preached on it, we preached on treasures eternal. And now we're going to preach tonight on the subject of treasures. What are they? I trust that it'll be a help and a blessing to you. I've had quite a few people come up and say to me, you know, that's really been a blessing. It's been a help to me. I've understood some things, and that's what it's all about. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be honored, helped by the Word of God. That's what preaching is all about. We listen, we learn, we grow together, we learn what God wants of us, and we apply it to our life, made application to our life. That's what it's all about. And so I trust tonight it'll be a blessing to you. You know, there's a sin in the Word of God that most of us don't pay much attention to. It's the very last commandment of the Ten Commandments. It's the sin of covetousness. And Jesus here in this portion of Scripture, we'll look at it a little more, but Jesus warned us of covetousness. And the very last commandment deals with coveting. And so it's a very serious thing. Now, I'm going to take you over to the book of Romans, and you hold your place in Luke, because we'll be coming back and forth there. But to the book of Romans, I want to show you something. But Paul said the last commandment was the one who really convicted his heart of sin. Look in Romans, the 7th chapter. I didn't tell you what chapter it is. 7th chapter of Romans. And let me read, we'll just read one verse of Scripture. You can read more than that later if you wish to, but I want to read one verse of Scripture, verse number 7. He says, What shall we say then? Is the law sin? He said, Is the law sin? Oh, he says, God forbid, the law is not sin. Amen, God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, he said, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. Paul said, the law said I should not covet, and because of that, I looked at my life, I looked at myself, and I looked at the commandment number 10, and I realized that I was guilty. I realized that there was things in my life and desires and unlawful desires that was stirred within me, and I looked at my life and said, That convicts me. I'm a sinner. If you look at Paul's life up to that time, you see he was one of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee. He thought he was doing real well, and I believe with all of my heart he was trying to do well. He was doing everything he can to that he could live a righteous life. But he did not understand. We're sinners. Every person is a sinner. We've sinned and come short of God's glory, you see. So he says, when I got to that part about coveting, he said, you know what? That convicted me. And I realized that I was a sinner. I want to give you an example. I want to tell you what Harry Ironside said. I think you've probably heard of Harry Ironside. He pastored up at Moody Church and other places, I think, but he was a great commentator. I read this out of his commentary, and I just want to read it to you about what is covetousness. And here's what he says. It is a desire to grasp that which God has withheld from us, though he may have given it to others. He said, it is a desire to grasp that which God has withheld from us, though he may have given it to others. And then he goes on to say, we ought to be content with such things as we have, but instead we grasp after other things which God has not seen fit to bestow upon us. Thus we are guilty of the sin of covetousness. I thought that was good. I felt like he examined that real well when it comes to covetousness. We got to remember, folk, we can be just as covetous as other folk can be. We Christians are very covetous a lot of times. We want to get a hold of something. We want to grasp something that God has not given to us. And we have a deep desire. We look around and see other people have certain things, and we say, that's what we want. We want that. And we covet after those things. Now here in Luke, the 12th chapter of Luke, this man came to him and said, Master, speak to my brother, that he divideth the inheritance with me. And evidently the father had died, and the brother had been left in control of the inheritance. And he was saying, I want you to speak to my brother, that he would divide it with me. Now, offhand, that does not sound so bad. It might be a right and proper thing to do, to divide it with the brother. I don't know, but Jesus said, that's not what I came for. I didn't come to decide little things like this. If he wanted to know what he came for, he come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, but he said he didn't come to divide between brothers. But immediately after that, we find him saying to them, take heed. And beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. See, immediately he said to him, there's a covetousness spirit in you. There's something in you that you desire some things that God has not given you. And you know what? We could do that. We could have an inheritance somewhere, and we'd say, well, why didn't we get more? God said, better be careful. That's covetousness. Right. Amen? That's covetousness. And so we have to be very careful, and it's a really very terrible sin. Covetousness is a terrible sin. We just don't talk much about it. We don't say much about it, but we ought to, because in God's eyes, covetousness is absolutely wrong. And he tells him a man's life does not consist not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That's what that's not what life consists of. Not in the things that you possess. Now listen to me. Is this which God said? Did he say that? Anything God says is true. Amen? So God said, that's not your life. Not the things that you possess. That is not your life. And it could be more than just a love for money. It can be an attempt to find satisfaction in the temporal or the things of this world. We want satisfaction out of these things. It's just not money. It's selfishness in our hearts about how we help other people, what kind of a blessing we are to other people. We're selfish in ourselves. And God says that is covetousness. We go on through life when we accumulate things. And let me say to you, many of them are worthless. I mean, amen, you agree with that. Many things we accumulate a lot of times, just worthless as can be. But we strive to have more beautiful homes than what we have now. We strive to have more land than what we have now. We strive to have more expensive furniture than we have. And we look around and we want this, we want that. And we want more better clothes and more clothes and all of these things. And we just begin to build. And God says that's covetousness. And we go on accumulating in life. And last death comes. And what happens is the lawyers and the family spend a lot of time trying to distribute the rubbish. I've told Donna one day, I said, honey, I said, I've been saying for years, I won't keep this thing, I won't keep that thing. And I said, you know, I'm running out of years. I said, what am I going to keep them for? I said, one of these days I'm going to go by the wayside. And I said, them things are still going to be there and it don't amount to anything to anybody else but me. Now, our kids will take them and junk them. Sure they will. They ain't no good. It's just stuff. Just things. Amen? And boy, I look at them sometimes as treasures. But I want you to know they're not treasures. And I'm going to explain to you tonight what treasures are. What they are. Amen? Because that stuff we have, the things we have, are not treasures. And yet people act like the more possessions that they can acquire, the better off they are, the happier they are. But that's not what God says. The Lord tells us the happier you'll be is when you give, not receive. That's when true happiness comes into your life, when you learn how to give and not all the time receiving. You see, what happens is all of these things that we have, I'll call them tonight stuff or things, okay? We have them. The only way they're ever going to become treasures is if we give them away and help somebody whom God has directed us to help. You know as well as I do that when you come to the end of life and you have a $100 bill in your pocket, that is not a treasure. You'll lose it. You'll run off and leave it. And it won't follow you. But if you give that $100 to the work of God to help some needy person, to help some poor person, it automatically becomes a treasure laid up in heaven. Now, you need to listen to what I'm saying to you, you see, because you know as well as I do, I can't come out there and control anybody's life. You'll live just the way you want to live. You'll handle your finances the way you want to handle them. All I can do is get up here and preach to you and tell you what is right, what is good to do, what is right to do, and you'll decide whether you do that or not. But what you need to do is turn a bunch of that stuff, a bunch of those things, into treasures. Amen? Because we've all got these things, you see. You know, the rich young ruler came to Jesus wanting to know what he could do to inherit eternal life. Jesus understood his heart. Jesus knew his heart. And so he knew that his heart was directed toward his treasure, because that's always true. Where your treasures are, that's where your heart will be. And he knew that his heart was directed toward his treasures, which was his riches. And so Jesus questioned him about that. He said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, you go sell that thou hast and give it to the poor. And he said, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Now folks, get a hold of this. What he says is, you've got all of these riches. They're absolutely not treasures right now. They're just riches that you have. And your heart is following them. Because that's where your treasure is. So he said, if you want heaven, you're going to have to sell what you have. Now, you're not going to get saved by selling what you have, but that would change his heart's direction. It would put it toward God instead of toward his riches. And so what he was saying was, immediately, all of them riches that you have right now can be turned into treasures. Go sell them and give it to the poor. See, you can turn things and stuff into treasures. But they're not treasures as long as they remain stuff and things. Folks, and that's why God said, lay up treasures in heaven. That's why Jesus said to him, you'll have treasures in heaven. Why? He was going to turn his riches into treasures. And so he would have many treasures in heaven. The Jews used to say this: when a child is born, he's born with his fists clenched. And what they meant by that was he's always grasping. You ever look at a little child and finally they learn how to hold a bottle, and they grasp that bottle and they hold onto that bottle and they drink it? Did you ever try to take one away from them? I used to do it mine all the time. I said, you've had enough. You've eaten too much. No, I didn't. But you try to take that away from them. They just hold on to it. They grasp it. Of course, they're eating. They want it. Amen. But then they say, when they get older and they die, their hands are empty and open because they take nothing with them. That's basically what we do as individuals. When we from the very birth, we begin to grasp. We begin to look for things. We begin to want things and desire things. But folks, when we die, we all die empty-handed. And we'll take none of those things that we have so grasped for. We'll take none of those things with us. Not whatsoever. Amen? You see, here in this portion of Scripture that I read to you, what he done was he talked about covetousness, and then he gave an illustration. He gave a parable. And he gave a wonderful illustration here, a wonderful parable here that explained a man who was covetous. And so he says in this parable, the ground of a certain man, rich man, turned forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. This man said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got so much stuff and things. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just got to have some place to put them. So I'm going to tear down those little barns I've got. And I've got to build bigger barns. So I'll have plenty of room to put all of my stuff. All of my things, you see. Now, let me say this to you. I want you to listen to me, because here's a principle also that you need to hear in the middle of this. There is nothing in this parable whatsoever where he warns us that making provision, proper provision for future, that there's anything wrong with that. That's not what he's teaching. He's not teaching that it's wrong for us to make proper provision for future. Ladies, he's not telling you to not can this summer so that you can put up some things for the winter. That is not what he's teaching. He's not teaching that it is wrong for a man who works and labors all of his life to lay some of that up for his older age. That's not what God is saying. You see, the problem with this man was he was thinking only of himself. Everything belonged to him. He had not learned the principle that I preached some time ago on the principle of whose are they, treasures, whose are they. He didn't realize they was God's. No, he had it in his mind, they all belong to him. And through this parable that is given, you notice the I's, always the I, my. He thought they all belonged to him. This man was concerned about one person. This guy that was speaking, this man who had so much, that's who he was concerned about. Amen? He was not concerned about anybody else. See, what he should have said is, I have plenty. How can I help someone else so I can turn these things and stuff into treasures? But he did not do that. He was not interested in that. See, he said in verse number 17, I believe it is, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? Yes, he did. He had all kinds of room. He had the widow's houses. Yes, he did. He had the needy, the poor. He had the orphans that he could help. He had plenty of places to bestow his fruits. But he was only interested in himself. He wanted to lay up for himself all of these things for his future. And none of it ever become treasures. It was nothing but things and stuff. Amen? You see, he might have looked around and saw that there was needs of the community around him. I'm sure there were needs. I'm sure of that. But he didn't do that. He didn't look to see if there's someone poor. He didn't look at somebody that needed food. He didn't look and see if there's somebody that needed clothes. He did not do that. He didn't go and spend some time and doing good deeds for those around him. He didn't do that. And because of that, none of his things was ever turned into treasures. Never was, you see. You see, this man was a selfish, covetous, godless man thinking only of glorifying himself and not God. That's all he thought about. How am I going to get along? Folks, you won't make it that way. You're not going to have a happy life that way. There's no way in the world. There's not going to be no happiness in you. You can say anything you want to, but if you're not a giver, you've got problems, and you don't have the happiness and the joy in your life that you ought to have, that God wants you to have. No way. Because I want to tell you, when you learn how to give, joy comes along with that. Amen. Given to the right place. Given where God directs you to give. That's what I've talked to you for. Be tender to the Holy Spirit of God. Let God speak to your heart and say, give this, give this. That's what God wants us to do. And when you do that, they turn them in to treasures. Amen. See, and that man goes to bed that night. I have a feeling he probably went to bed between some wonderful linen sheets, enjoying all the luxury that he had. And in the middle of the night, all at once, he awoke, and there was a pain in his chest. And he said, I'm having a heart attack. What am I going to do? And God said, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. And whose then will these things be? It's all over. It's done. And you know what? You haven't turned any of your stuff, your things, into treasures. You're going to leave every single one of them. No treasures whatsoever. So you see, he'd been so busy laying up treasures for himself on this earth that he made no preparation for eternity. I'm talking about his soul preparation. I'm talking about treasures laid up in heaven. He made no preparation whatsoever. And he come to the end of his life. You know, the book of Revelation tells us about a church of Laodicea. And the church of Laodicea said they had need of, they had increased, they said, I'm rich and I'm increased in goods. They have need of nothing. That's what they said. Lord Jesus said, here's his estimation of it. He said, thou art wretched, thou art miserable, and you're poor, and you're blind, and you're naked. And yet they said, oh, we've got it all. We've got everything we need. We've increased with riches. You see, what had happened was they had not turned their riches into treasures. And we need to turn our riches into treasures. We need to do good deeds for people. As God opens up the door for us. If you only understand the leading of the Holy Spirit, you go through life, you go through a day of life, and God says to you, if he don't say this to you, get on your knees and talk to him, because you need a better relationship with him. Because God speaks to us and says, do this, give that, go here. That's the way God does it. He opens up the door for us, and you need to be listening to him and turning some of those things and stuff into treasure. Amen. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, he said, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. He wasn't trying to make them rich physically or materially. Understand? That was not it. He wanted them to be rich. He wanted them to have treasures laid up in heaven, you see. Now, I believe something. I believe even Christians have to be very careful, because there's a great danger that many Christians has this spirit of covetousness. They're concerned about themselves and nobody else. They don't look for ways to give. Oh, they've got all of this laid up. Yeah, they've got it all laid up. I mean, you know, they can live for a long time and they've got all this laid up. Well, folks, well, at the end of life, it's just going to stop there. And what you've got laid up is not treasures. What becomes treasures is what you give to God to use for his work and his service and helping the people, helping needy people, helping the poor people. Do what you need to do. That becomes treasures. Amen. So we have to be careful. You say, Brother Ross, how do I lay up treasures? Let me say something to you. Everything you do for others in his name becomes a treasure. Everything you give to the needy, every good deed you do in his name. You say, Brother Ross, why are you stressing that? Because there's a lot of things we can do. We can give our children. We can give our grandchildren. We love them. We can give them wonderful things and just keep lavishing them with things. That's not treasures. We studied that last week. It's those who can't help you back. You say, Brother Ross, are you against giving grandkids? No, I'm not against that. I'm all for it. But you want to do it in very, very careful balance. If you really want to turn things into treasures, give them to those whom God instructs you to give them to and who can't give them back to you. It's pretty easy to love those who love us. That's easy. That's what God's word says. Amen. He says even the sinners do that. So we need to learn to give that which we have and turn them into treasures. Now you say, Brother Ross, I'm just not going to do that. Well, that's all right. At the end of life, I want you to understand something. At the end of life, all of those things you have and all these things you've stored up and all these things you've used for yourself all these years will not be treasures. You've never turned them into treasures. No. They've not been turned into treasures. They turn into treasures when you give out of the heart of the direction of God. That's when they turn into treasures. Now, what we've got to understand is this. You've got to understand a principle. This is not our home. I want you to go over to the book of Hebrews, please. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, I want to read verse 13 and verse 14. Verse 13, yes, chapter 11, verse 13. And these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know what he said? We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. The illustration back in the Old Testament was Abraham and them who lived in tents. You know why that illustration was there? Because they was just passing through. They was pilgrims. They was strangers. They was passing through. Israel got in trouble when she settled down into the land. I'm just simply saying to you, they build houses. They wasn't passing through anymore. It's what God is saying here to us, though. Don't just settle down in this old world. Realize you're just passing through. You're strangers and you're pilgrims. Amen. Now, isn't that true? Well, that's what he said here. And then in verse 14, he says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 16 says, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God has a place prepared for us. You understand that? You know that. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say everybody in here, for some reason, we all had to go to England. Amen. We all have to go to England. We have to go over there and we have to work for a year. And then we can come back to America. There's only one stipulation. When you go over to England and you purchase things, you buy things in England, you absolutely cannot bring anything you purchase back here to America with you. Nothing. What you can do is whatever money you make in England, you can send it back to your bank in America. Now I want to ask you right now, how much would you purchase while you was over there? Just the necessities.
Amen.
The necessities of life.
Right.
Them things that you must have. And God, your heavenly Father, knows that you have need of those things. That's what the Word of God says. He knows you have need of things and I have need of things. He knows that. But you and I would go over there knowing that none of the things that we purchase over there could ever come back to America with us. We would send most of the money that we made over there, we'd send it back to America and get it in our bank account over here. Why? So when we come back to America, it'd be there for us. That's what God's saying to us. Folks, you're not going to be able to take any of this with you. When you leave this earth, you're not going to take a dime with you. Nothing. But if you've sent a bunch ahead, you'll have it when you get over there. I'm talking about treasures. Because that's what Jesus said. And you say, well, Brother Ross, you know, I think that's you're talking about laying up treasures. Well, that's what Jesus said. He said, lay up treasures in heaven, not on earth. He tells us to lay them up. Why? Because when we get there, they'll be there. Amen? So we need to turn a bunch of our stuff and things into treasures. Amen? Now, do we have a home? Oh, thank God, we have a home waiting on us. You see, this is not our home, but thank God we have a home that is waiting for us. We preached about that this morning. Jesus went away to prepare a place for us. We've got a home waiting for us. There's a day, according to the book of Revelation, 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, there's a day when we'll come and we'll be married to the bridegroom, which is Christ. You need to read that. You need to read that in 19th chapter. You need to hear there's coming a day, and that bridegroom of ours has prepared a place for us. It's a home for us. Amen. And we need to be looking toward that home, you see. And let me say something to you. When the place he's prepared for us, there'll be no room for stuff. There'd be no room for things. Amen. We're not going to be taking those things with us, you see. There's a bumper sticker that said this: he who dies with the most toys wins. You ever see that? He who dies with the most toys wins. There's most folk believe that. Really do. They believe that. The more toys I get. Let me tell you something. Those who die with the most toys, those who live and get the most toys still die and take none of them with them. Have all the toys you want. But you won't take anyone with you. Neither would I. Amen? There was I read this little article. And it was in a paper about this television station, Fluenza. In other words, it's kind of like it's people who's trying to get more materialism into their life, and they're talking about it and they deal with it. Here's what it said. It said the average American shops 6 hours a week and plays with their children 40 minutes. There's another thing they said. They said by the age of 20, you've seen 1 million commercials. Said more Americans file bankruptcy than graduate from college. That's what it said. Another thing, it said 90%, you know, you heard your preacher preach this, but 90% of divorces, money problems play a prominent role. Now, we didn't say that money problems was all the problems in divorces, but it plays a prominent role. People begin to argue over money, and it becomes a problem. You see, what I'm saying is, if we'll get this straight on what money's all about and what we should do with our money and turning some of it into treasures, your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. That's why He gave you a job. He knows you have need of food. He knows you have need of clothes. He knows you have need of certain things. But He wants you to take certain part of it and turn it into treasures in heaven. Amen? Here's what some wealthy people said. Now, this goes way back. W.H. Vanderbilt. Has any of you young children ever heard of Vanderbilt? Have any of you ever heard of him? I doubt very much you have. But back then, he was like maybe the Rockefellers. You've heard of Rockefellers? Well, maybe you haven't even heard of Rockefellers. He's like Bill Gates. Have you heard of Bill Gates? Amen, I got it. He's like Bill Gates. See, back in those days, he was like Bill Gates would have been today. Here's what he said. The care of $200 million is enough to kill anyone. That's what he said. He had $200 million and he said, that's enough to kill anybody. Here's what John Jacob Astor, and you ain't heard of him either. He said, I am the most miserable man on earth. That's what he said. John W. Rockefeller. He said, I have made millions, but they have brought me no happiness. And that's what he said. He said, Andrew Carnegie said, millionaires seldom smile. Henry Ford said this, I was happier when I was a mechanic. Amen? You see, why? Because to them, it was stuff. It was things. It wasn't treasures. Just take for a moment and imagine the Grand Canyon. How many has ever been to the Grand Canyon? Quite a few folk here has been at the Grand Canyon. Donna and I had the privilege here a few years ago of standing on the rim there of the Grand Canyon, and not too close, but we stood at the rim of the Grand Canyon and looked over that thing, and it's a mammoth thing, a marvelous thing to see. It's just amazing to look at that place. Now, one man told me out there, he said the reason the Grand Canyon's there, the reason it got dug was because a Jew lost a penny and he went after digging after it. And that's why we had the Grand Canyon. I don't think that's true. But anyway, it is an amazing place. And just imagine that as everybody, as they died, before God let them go wherever they're going, they'd have to carry all their stuff and dump it in the Grand Canyon. I mean, you're going to lose it anyway. You're not going to take it with you. I have a feeling the Grand Canyon would fill up, because we have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of things, and we've never turned them in to treasures. Now listen to me again. This preacher's not saying that you're not to have anything. You don't walk out of this place and, well, Pastor, don't want me to have. No, no, no. You're missing the whole thing. And in fact, I'll read you a verse of scripture here in a minute. It's all right if God gives us things. It's all right if we enjoy the things that God gives us. But you got to keep it in balance. I'm going to go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want to share with you in the second chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. I want to share with you. I want you to listen as I read. If you want to read along, be fine, but I want you to listen as I read. Second chapter, Ecclesiastes. Here is the man, one of the wisest men who ever walked the face of this earth. Here's also a man who is the richest man that ever walked the faces of this earth. And I want you to listen to his estimation in verse number 4, chapter 2. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Why, I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the providences. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the son of men, as musical instruments and that of all sorts. Listen to what he said. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remaineth with me, he said. Now listen to what he said. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoices in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Verse 11. Then I looked at all the works that my hands had wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there is no profit under the sun. Solomon said, you know what? I absolutely did not keep anything that my eyes saw that they wanted. I didn't keep anything from them. I had everything. He got to the end of life. He said, it's all vexation. It's all vanity. It's worthless. You know why? Because he didn't turn his things and stuff into treasures. Now, folks, listen to me. What I don't want for you, I don't want for you to come to the end of life and look back and say it's all vanity. It's all vexation of spirit. I want you to be able to stand before God Almighty with treasures laid up in heaven, not things and stuff left here on this earth. And every person here can do that. If you desire to do it, if you make a determination to do it. I want to give you something that A.W. Tozer said. He said, as base a thing as money often is, it yet can be transmuted into everlasting treasure. It can be converted into food for the hungry and clothing for the poor. It can keep a missionary actively winning lost men to the light of the gospel and thus transmuted itself into heavenly value. Any temporal possession can be turned into everlasting wealth. Whatever is given to Christ is immediately touched with immortality. What a statement. What he's saying to us, those things that we have. Learn to listen to God. Listen to him as you live your life. Let him direct. You see, you're the steward of it. He wants to be the director, for he's the owner. It's not yours. It's not mine. He wants you to listen to him and say, distribute it here. Give it here. Do this. Do that. Why? So treasures will be laid up in heaven. I've got one more portion of scripture I want to take you to, and then we'll close. Over in the book of 1 Timothy. The 6th chapter. I want you to listen as I read verse 17 and through verse 19. So you listen to what God's word said, okay? He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. First of all, he says, to have a humble spirit. Don't be high-minded as though you have this and you have that, no one else has it. No, have a humble spirit. Second thing he says in that verse of scriptures, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He says, no, don't trust in those uncertain riches. We learned, you remember, how riches take wings and fly away. That's what the word of God says. They're gone. Don't trust in those. No, no, no. But trust in the living God. Trust in the living God. And then you notice he says, God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. In other words, God wants us to enjoy the things he has given us. But listen to me, folks. He's not wanting us to store it up down here. He's given us things that we can enjoy, and it's an enjoyment that he gives us. But folks, don't overdo it. Put it in balance. Put it in perspective. And then he says this, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. You see what he says? He says, what I want you to do, you see, he's talking here to the rich, but let me say to you, the poor don't get out of this. Some people say, well, I'm poor. You still can give. In fact, it's a principle of life to give. You won't give as much as the rich, but you still can give. It's a principle you must do to be blessed of God, to be helped. You must sow some seed so God can multiply that seed. So don't get away from this of saying, I'm not rich, so it's not up to me. No, no, no. It's up to all of us to give accordingly as God has given us. And we need to learn to be givers. And you see, what he says is take those things which I have given you and put it to God's use. That's what he's saying to us. He says, you be willing to distribute. Folks, that doesn't mean hoard up. That means get rid of it. Give it where God wants it to be given. Help those who are in need. Help the work of God. Help missionaries. Amen. And he says, and willing to communicate. That word communicate there is talking about willing to, again, to give and to spread it and to be willing to communicate your riches to them, to those in need. And listen why. Listen to why. Laying up in store for them, for your themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, if you understand this eternal life, listen to me, and I'll reread it again. But if you understand this eternal life, you know and I know we don't get eternal life by giving. We get eternal life by receiving. Schofield says there, the word there speaks of to learn how to really live. If you want to know how to really live, then what you're going to do is lay up a store for yourselves, a good foundation against the time to come. You understand what he's saying? You see, I can't make you lay store up. I'm not trying to. This preacher is just free tonight. I can't make you do anything, and that's okay. I don't want to. But I want you to have a heart that learns how to give. Why? Because God says to. And we're going to receive many benefits because of it. And plus, he's going to get his work done. He's going to get done what he wants done. Amen? Amen? Listen, materialism, I'm going to make this statement, I'm going to close. Materialism is one of the greatest diseases that we have in America. AIDS is a terrible thing, but materialism is worse. And there's only one cure for it. Giving. Giving. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to learn to be givers. Some people's going to go to their grave with all of these things all stored up. And they'll die. And when they get up to heaven, they may, if they're saved, if they're God's child, they'll go to heaven. but they won't be anything up there that they've laid up. No, I didn't say they wouldn't be happy. They'll be glad to be there, but no. We've preached a message on that. So important we understand these rewards that God wants us to earn is very important throughout all eternity. They're eternal. They're not something we get up to heaven, God hands them to you and say, okay, now go do what you want to with them, and they go away. No, these are eternal. Treasures are eternal. They'll go on forever. If you don't have any laid up, there won't be any. You know what I advise? I'm very serious. If you haven't laid up treasures, I'd do it real quick. I'm like I told you, I'm free. I don't have to, you do what you want. But I'm telling you, I'd take some of them stuff that you have laid up and them things that you have laid up, and I would turn them into treasures. Amen? So that one of these days, when you meet God, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Don't be afraid to give, folks, because you cannot outgive God. I know you've heard that before, but you absolutely cannot outgive it. God won't allow that. He's a great God. Amen. Hope that's been a help and a to you. Learn to be a giver. Lay up treasures. Let's pray. Father, once again, I thank you for your word and the principles of your word. And Lord, I trust that tonight's message was a help, a blessing to all of our hearts that'll help us to be more like you. I pray that you'll be able to take it and use it in all of our hearts, that we might learn and realize what we need to do is turn some of that stuff and things that we have into treasures. So, Father, I ask your will be done. I trust that you'll work upon all hearts here tonight, deal with each one. And, Father, should there be anyone here that is not saved, they cannot say, I know for sure, 100% sure, that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I pray they'd get that settled here tonight. Jesus Christ is the only way. He died on the cross for our sins. And through us putting our faith and trust in him, we believe that, Father, just putting our faith and trust in him, putting all in him, not in the church, not in the baptistry, and not in good works, but in Jesus Christ, we can become God's child. So I pray any here tonight that needs to receive Christ, you'll deal with their heart and help them to come to you. Once again, I pray for Christians. Oh God, help us to be like you. Help us to mind the word of God and turn these things and stuff into treasures for the rest of our life. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.